for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
Just a couple things to remind you of. We have a town hall meeting coming up a week from Tuesday night on the 19th to follow up from the United Methodist General Conference decisions and actions and conversations. We'll follow up with some more information that night. Have a couple of folks who will be there who are delegates from North Texas, Reverend Owen Ross and Kelly Carpenter. They will be here to answer some questions for us so we can better understand from folks who were there what all was going on. You'll hear more about that in the coming days. And then also, you're encouraged to take one of these yarn bracelets through the season of Lent. We're going to do one every week. The idea, we're kind of coming at Lent a little differently. You know, a lot of times at Lent, we think of what are the things I'm going to give up? And we think of denying ourselves something in order to focus our attention on God. Well, we're kind of looking at it as, what are the things I'm going to take on? What are the things I'm going to, some new habits, some new practices, some new thoughts? What will I take on? And so this is just kind of a reminder. I invite you, tie it around your wrist, put it on your keychain, put it on your rearview mirror, somewhere where you will see it so that it reminds you things we take on during the season of Lent as we seek to become the people God intends us to be the people that live and love like Jesus. And so I invite you to do that. If you have not gotten one already, that you would grab one on your way out. These will be, there'll be different colors every week, and it will just be a reminder of the things we take on in our journey of following Christ. The scripture today is Matthew chapter 4. This is an important passage that connects to a lot of different things. And so it's fairly familiar, but even though it's familiar, will you listen for the word of the Lord? Then the Spirit led Jesus up into the wilderness so that the devil might tempt him. After Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was starving. The tempter came to him and said, "Since you are God's son, command these stones to become bread." Jesus replied, "It's written, people won't live only by bread, but by the word spoken by God." After that, the devil brought him into the holy city and stood him at the highest point of the temple. He said to him, "Since you are God's son, throw yourself down. For it is written, I will command my angels concerning you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone." Jesus replied, "Again, it is written, don't test the Lord your God." Then the devil brought him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said, "I'll give you all these if you bow down and worship me." Jesus responded, "Go away, Satan, because it is written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him." The devil left, and angels came and took care of him. So today is the first Sunday of Lent. We began Lent this past Wednesday night. Some of you were here for our Ash Wednesday service. That begins the season of Lent. It's part of the Christian year. You know, some traditions really emphasize the Christian seasons a lot more than we do. It's not that we don't think they're important. We just don't. It's not just a little bit different tradition. But in some traditions, they talk a lot about that. And you know, the Christian year begins with Advent. Depending on the way the calendar falls, it's either the last Sunday of November or first Sunday of December, and that's where we begin the Christian New Year, because we begin with preparation and expectation of the birth of Christ. And so you have then the Christmas season, which you probably know lasts for 12 days. There's a song about it. On January 6th is the day of Epiphany, and beginning the season of Epiphany. Epiphany is the celebration of the coming of the light into the world. It's the theme of the manifestations of God's word has become flesh. And then you have Lent. Begins with Ash Wednesday. Lasts for 40 days to correspond with the 40 days Jesus was in the wilderness. It lasts for 40 days. And then after that you have, which brings us to Good Friday, doesn't it? It brings us to Good Friday, to the crucifixion. And then the next season, of course, is Easter, Resurrection Day in the Easter season in celebration of new life. So during this 40 days, you need to know that one of the things you don't count are Sundays. So if you go to your calendar, start counting, you'll say, "Pastor Jeff was wrong." You don't count Sundays. Even Martin Luther said that every Sunday is a little Easter. So you don't count Sundays when you count those 40 days. It's a time that we intentionally consider our own mortality, consider our own frailty, our shortcomings, and seek to live more in union with God's purpose for our life. And so some people do different practices and habits through Lent to try to refocus themselves on those things. So today we're going to talk about the spiritual discipline of getting lost. I recently told you about a backpacking trip I was on. I'll tell you a story about another backpacking trip I was on. It's the first one I went on. I was a youth director, and there were about three of us who were taking a group of teenagers on a backpacking trip. We went to Arkansas, the Ozark Highlands Trail. If you want to know kind of roughly where that is, there's a line. Basically, if you think of from Lake Fort Smith going east, about 150 miles is where it is. We started about halfway and worked our way back toward Lake Fort Smith. So it was going to be over 50 miles, about 5 days. And so had these teenagers, none of whom had gone on a backpacking trip before. So we had a van that was going to meet us every evening with our food provisions. Now, we had to carry everything else. We had snacks and water, but they would have our dinner and our breakfasts. And so they would meet us where we were going to camp for the night. We thought that was probably wise for people who had never been on a backpacking trip. So that's what we did. First day, though, it was going to be a little bit longer day than the others. It was going to be 11 miles, a little bit more. So we knew it would be a long day, but there was a place on the trail that once you got to that place, we knew to veer off, and there would be a place where the van would meet us. It was an old abandoned campground, actually, but they could get there on a dirt road. We could meet them there, and we would spend the night. So we walk. And we walk, and we walk, and we walk, and we walk. We're on the trail. We walk, and we walk, and finally it's getting late in the day, and the group leader says, I think we missed it. We got to turn around and go back and see if we can find it. Okay, so we turn, we go back, look, no. Okay, well, it must be, okay, we got to get, so we turned around, went again, kept walking, finally got to where we were. There was a dirt road. Well, we weren't supposed to cross a dirt road. So we were like, okay, now this is clearly not good. It was late in the day, and the leader said, well, we got to bed down. I mean, we got to just stay right here. There's a little clearing very close. So we just went into the clearing and got ourselves ready to spend the night. Now, we were pretty tired. Later, we looked back and realized we'd probably walked about 15 miles that day. And so so sleep came easily and deeply. So we slept. Now, we didn't have our meals. We had some snacks left over. We had some water left over. But we slept. I think about that time, and I think, you know, if that had lasted a really long time, I wonder what we might have done. Because, well, I think there's someone to blame, right? That's what you do. You blame somebody. It's someone's fault. It's the leader's fault. He should have known. It's someone's. Now, we all had looked at the map. Now, we had paper maps. Some of you remember those. We did not have satellite phones. We did not have cell phones. We didn't have GPS equipment. We had paper maps. And we had all looked at it. And okay, we know, well, the map maker must be wrong, right? We could have blamed all kinds of folks. While we were there, when we finally decided we just got to bed down for the night, if you had an extra bag of snacks in your backpack, it would have been real easy to not let anybody know you had that extra bag, right? Maybe your canteen was more full than the others. Well, I don't know that I need to let people know that, right? So that I have more. It would have been tempting to take matters into your own hands. You know, at some point, somebody says, well, I don't know about you people, but I'm going to start walking. I'm going to start down this road. I'm going to turn around and go back down the trail to find where we're supposed to be. Those temptations when you feel lost to do things that generally, ultimately, are never helpful, right? This passage in Matthew 4, we often, it's easy to think of it being a time that Jesus was lost in the wilderness, right? Now Matthew was writing to a Jewish audience. They were either already converted to Christianity or they were entertaining it. And so it was written to people with a Jewish background. And And one of the things he does throughout is make connections back to the Exodus experience, back to the law, back to other things. And so you can see that in Matthew all the way through. And even in this passage of Jesus in the wilderness reminds us of that connection to their Jewish roots. So one of the things, of course, we remember about those in Exodus that they had escaped Egypt, right? They had been slaves. They escaped Egypt under Moses' leadership. They got across the Red Sea or the Reed Sea, and they get across because God parted the water, and they get across, and then the water collapses on the Egyptian army, and they can't capture them. So they're free. They were slaves, and now they're free. But they're in the wilderness. One of the very first things they did, do you remember? They blamed Moses. They blamed Moses. It's his fault. He brought us out here. He brought us out here to die, didn't you? Now, they had a legitimate complaint. They had no food. They had all this other stuff. They didn't have food. That's legitimate. And God said, I'll provide. So in the mornings, they would wake up, and there would be this bread-like substance on the ground. They called it manna. And God instructed them, I'll give you all that you need for the day. So when you get up in the morning, just get what you need. Don't get more than you need. And the next day, I'll give you what you need for that day. I mean, you know, there's something to the prayer, give us this day our daily bread, right? So there's even one account where somebody did take more than they were supposed to, and the next morning when they got up, it was all rotted. So clearly, God's going to provide a day at a time. But then they did take matters into their own hands too. They were camped out at the base of Mount Sinai. And Moses goes up on the mountain. Remember, that's where he received the Ten Commandments. While he's up there, they don't know what to do. There's a saying, I wish it was original with me, but it's not. But there's a saying that when people don't know what to do what they know. When people don't know what to do, they do what they know. So, well, these were people who had lived their lives in Egypt, where they had been around pagan worship and pagan sacrifice forever. So what did they know? Well, they knew, let's take the metals that we have, melt them down, and we'll create a golden calf. Then we'll have something tangible, something visible we can worship. Because who knows where Moses is? So we're going to take matters into our own hands. Pretty typical human reaction and response when you feel lost. This is a little bit different than Jesus being in the wilderness, because that passage started off with saying that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So this is different. It's not that Jesus is lost, that he just wound up there, didn't know where he was, needed to get his bearings. The Spirit led him into the wilderness where he would fast for 40 days and 40 nights. There's that number, 40. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that numbers in the Bible are often intended to be used symbolically. When you find 40, it was always a time where it was a God-initiated time of transition. We talked about this with Noah and the flood, right? It rained 40 days and 40 nights. Because during that time, God was cleansing the evil from creation. So you had the beforehand, and then you had the after. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before they were slaves. And then they became free people. So that 40 is a time of intense transition that is going on. So Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days. Before this, Jesus had not been doing any ministry. He had just been a guy. He was a civilian, so to speak. Afterwards, he began his public ministry and began working miracles. He began proclaiming the kingdom of God is near. So during this 40 days of fasting is an important time where he then is not just Jesus from Nazareth, he becomes Jesus, the Son of God. That's even acknowledged by the tempter, isn't it? Because he says to them, since you're the Son of God, since you're God's Son. And he presented Jesus with these three temptations, right? So Jesus, well, I know you're hungry. You've got to be hungry. Why don't just turn these stones into bread? You're God's Son. Turn these stones into bread. I mean, that's reasonable. That would make sense. And on the one hand, you think, well, sure, why not? But Jesus quotes Scripture saying, We are not to live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. Now, I sometimes think of that temptation, and I wonder if part of the temptation was that it was in the plural form. He didn't just take a stone and say, turn this into bread. Turn these stones into bread. If you can have a little bit, you ought to have a whole lot. The second temptation was that he took him to this the top of the temple and said, just throw yourself off of here, because the Bible says, this is the devil talking, because the Bible says that he will send his angels to catch you, and you will not catch your foot on a stone. You will not, you'll be fine, because the Bible says. And Jesus quotes scripture and says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now, we could chase a rabbit right here for a while about how just because a person quotes scripture doesn't mean they necessarily know what they're talking about. Doesn't mean they necessarily have the right idea. It is possible to misuse scripture. You can quote it all day long. Does it fulfill God's purposes, though? We'll chase that rabbit another day. And then there was that temptation for the spectacular. Fall off the temple and the angels will catch you. Then there's the temptation for power. He takes him up to this high mountain where he can see all the kingdoms of the world. Now again, remember high places, the Tower of Babel. Moses goes up on the mountain to get the 20 commandments. There's an editorial problem and they became 10. I didn't told you that before. I don't know where that came from. I've never said 20 commandments in my life. All right. So he takes him to this high mountain. This understanding of this divine encounter, right? Like you can have all the kingdoms of the world if you'll just worship me. But again, Jesus quotes scripture. You're to worship only God, serve only him. And then the angels came and tended to him. When we think of Jesus in the wilderness, he was not at all lost. God had led him there. And in fact, when we think of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, when you look in Exodus 13, it says, God led them into the wilderness. The column that led them, the pillar of fire that led them at night, God led them into the wilderness. Well, now this starts to change our notion of what it means to be lost. Sometimes it's not that we're lost. Maybe we're being led to a new place. It's natural to think of wilderness and lost going together. I mean, I think that's natural. We think of wilderness as untamed. We think of it as there are no roads, there's no map. We think of that you go there, you're just lost. I think that's natural. But that van did find us the next morning. Came down that dirt road, and we were sure happy to hear it rolling along. And had our breakfast and rested and had to make some changes and figure out, okay, let's adjust our schedule. How far are we going to walk today? All those kinds of things. Made some adjustments, but we were fine the rest of the trip. So even though we were lost, we didn't have a way to let the van driver know where we were. Van driver sitting in a van at night thinking, where is everybody? We didn't have any way of communicating, but we were somewhere, right? We were somewhere. And one of the things that happened while we were there was, we learned some things. We learned that if you miss a meal at night, you're going to make it. Don't panic, right? That maybe you could share some food, some things. If there's a little more, that person has a little more. We learned that we had more patience than we understood. We were more resilient somehow. That by being in this place where we were not expecting to be, we weren't so much lost as we were in a place to learn and to grow in ways we didn't expect, but nevertheless we grew. Because lost is more of a fear than it is a reality. And when we think of lost, we generally think of that we're lost from something, right? I'm lost from civilization. I'm lost from home. I'm lost from safety. I'm lost from my friends, my family. I'm lost from. And so we think of it lost as being nowhere. I'm lost from the things I want to be able to go back to. But what if we thought of it the other way? What if we thought I'm lost to? I'm lost to discover a strength I didn't know I had on that backpacking trip. I'm lost to discover new insights. I'm lost to trust God more deeply. Well, they kind of go together. I mean, you kind of need to be lost from and lost to. So for Lent, maybe for you to consider, I mean, we talked about taking things on. What do you need to be lost to? What do you need to be lost to? I'll tell you, and if you know what you need to be lost to, that helps you know what you need to be lost from, right? So I'll tell you what I'm doing for Lent. One of the things that I look at my phone way too much. I look at my phone way too much. It's not because of, I mean, I get emails and texts and phone calls, sure, but, you know, what I do is I look at social media. Sit there and you scroll through. You know, you have, gosh, I have 10 seconds. I don't know what to do. Oh, I'll look at Facebook, right? And it just gets to where it's just reflexive. Pastor Courtney told about a guy that she read about, an article that he realized that when he would be at a store buying something, he'd put his card in the chip reader. He reflexively pulled his phone out and opened it up while his card is in the chip reader. Because, well, gee, I got 5 seconds. Might as well, right? And that was part of his realization. Part of my realization was that just not that long ago, just a few weeks ago, I was trying to read some things that were not easy reading. And while I was really trying to wade through that, I realized I had about a 4 to 5 minute attention span. And then I was like, okay, I got to do something else. I'd look at my watch. Wow, Jeff, 5 minutes, really? And I realized I had trained myself to only be able to really concentrate for very short periods of time. Then I need a brain break. Then I need to see what's going on in the world. So Hannah Walker, who is our Bridge contemporary worship leader and our young adult minister, reminded me that on an iPhone, you can go into settings and you can limit your app time. So I went in there and on my social media, I get 15 minutes a day. So I'm not going to completely disconnect. I mean, I do think I probably ought to know something what's going on in the world. Not totally avoid that. So I 15 minutes a day. And so at the if I'm on an app, if I'm looking at Facebook or Twitter or something, and the 15 minutes is up, the screen changes. It says 15 minute limit. It happened this morning. I'm not kidding. I was sitting there drinking my coffee, trying to wake up, and I was like, oh, well, okay. So I guess I'm done for the day. Now, you know, you own the phone. You can override it, but it makes you go, well, wait, I need to stop. And I tell you, and just since Wednesday, this started Wednesday, 4 days, we're 4 days into Lent, I have already read more things that were meaningful than I was before. I have already been more conscientious about journaling every day than I was before. I'm already more present and aware of things than I was before. In just 4 days, I needed to get lost from social media so I could get lost to being present, being aware, deepening my devotion to God. So I don't know what it is for you. I mean, there's maybe something that you need to get lost to. And in order to do that, you got to get lost from something else. So I just we're going to have a moment of prayer, and I'm going to guide you through that. There will be some periods of silence to consider what is it you need to be lost from and get lost to. What's God calling you to do in this season of Lent? So let us pray. Well, God, we're grateful that wherever we are, you are there. That in a sense, we are never lost from you. So we thank you for your gracious presence in our times of ease and in our times of difficulty, in the times where we know exactly where we're going and the times that we have no idea where we are. We thank you that you're with us. God, we know that you call us to. You call us to a way of living. You call us to a way of being that resembles, at least resembles, your Son Jesus. So in this moment, God, may we consider the ways that you are calling us to something new in our life.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, either in our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in the bridge, which offers contemporary music in a relaxed, rejuvenating environment. For more information, visit our website at mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.